While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to On the Reading News Analysis right here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and today is, of course, Friday, the 10th of April, 2026. Now, as the week moves towards its close, the country remains firmly in motion as across Namibia from Windhoek to Walvis Bay, Oshakati to Ketmansoop, the focus continues to center on productivity, on growth, and navigating the realities of an evolving economic and social landscape. Workplaces remain active, schools continue at full pace, and businesses are steadily engaging with both opportunities and challenges shaping the current climate. Now, this is the rhythm of a nation pushing forward, balancing immediate demands with long-term ambition, even as the weekend approaches. Now, on today's program, we continue to focus on the drivers behind Namibia's economic trajectory, what trends are emerging across key sectors, and how businesses are adapting to shifting consumer behavior and market conditions, and what this means for growth, investment, and job creation in the months ahead. We'll also explore the broader national outlook, from policy direction and economic resilience to innovation and the expanding role of young Namibians in shaping the country's future. As industries evolve, so too must the strategies that support them. Now, in addition, we'll take a closer look at public accountability and service delivery, key pillars in maintaining trust and ensuring that development translates into real impact for communities across the country. And as always, we remain grounded in the everyday realities that connect us all, how national decisions influence local experiences, and how individual voices contribute to the bigger picture. Now, over the next 1 hour and 30 minutes, expect sharp analysis, meaningful conversations, and insights that do matter. Whether you are at your desk, on the road, or winding down your week, this is your space. This is On the Reading News Analysis on Eagle FM Namibia, not just reporting the news, but making sense of it all. Now, let's get right into today's discussions. Today, we shed spotlight on branding and marketing at Namibia's Industry Indaba. Now, branding and marketing Indaba, hosted over the 3 days period by MTC Namibia, has brought renewed focus to the critical role of branding and marketing in driving business success and economic growth. The event gathered entrepreneurs, creatives, and industry leaders, including, of course, one of our own, my colleague David Chambe, to explore how local businesses can better position themselves in an increasingly competitive global market. The Indaba comes at a time when many Namibian businesses are seeking ways to expand beyond local markets and compete with international brands. Central to the discussion was the understanding that having a quality product or service is no longer sufficient. How a business presents and communicates its value has become equally important. Now, branding, as emphasized during the session, extends beyond logos and visual identity. It represents the overall perception of a business in the minds of consumers. Experts highlight that strong branding builds trust, creates emotional connections, and differentiates businesses in crowded markets. Without a clear and consistent brand identity, businesses risk being overlooked regardless of the quality of their offerings. Now, marketing, on the other hand, was described as the engine that drives visibility and growth. Now, through strategic communication, ranging from social media engagement to advertising and storytelling, businesses can reach their target audiences and convert awareness into tangible results. Speakers noted that effective marketing enables businesses to attract new customers, retain existing ones, and scale their operations. Now, a key theme emerging from the Indamber was the need for Namibian entrepreneurs to adopt a more strategic and competitive mindset with globalization and digital transformation reshaping markets. Local businesses are now competing not only with each other, but also with international companies. Now, this shift requires entrepreneurs to clearly define their target audiences, articulate unique value propositions, and maintain consistency across all customer touch points. Now, the event also underscored the vital role of the creative industry in business development. Branding and marketing rely heavily on professionals such as designers, photographers, and content creators. By highlighting this interdependency, the Indamber has helped position creatives as essential contributors to economic growth rather than optimal service providers. Now, beyond individual business success, the broader economic implications were also addressed. Strong branding and marketing practices can enhance the competitiveness of small and medium enterprises, stimulate innovation, and create employment opportunities within the creative sector. Now, as more businesses adopt these practices, the overall resilience and global presence of Namibia's economy are expected to improve. Participants were encouraged to embrace digital tools and platforms as part of their marketing strategies. Now, in today's digital age, an online presence is no longer optional, but rather a necessity for visibility and engagement. The availability to adapt to changing market trends and consumer behaviors also was identified as a key factor in long-term sustainability. Now, the branding and marketing number has reinforced the message that branding and marketing are fundamental pillars of modern business. Through initiatives like this, MTC Namibia, alongside industry voices, is playing a vital role in equipping Namibian entrepreneurs with the knowledge and tools needed to thrive in both local and global market. Now, of course, let's take a listen to one of the speakers at the MTC Branding and Marketing Indamber. And she is from Ghana. That is Maukeni Libeiro. Let's take a listen to what she has to say within that. We'll also come in and discuss later with my colleague. Stay tuned.
We are the ones who have the beautiful landscape. We are the ones who have this, we have that, we just have oil, we have the first female president, we have this, we have that. Tell that story. Because when the decisions are being made, it's the narrative that you have authored that will determine who gets into that room, whether or not Namibia gets that seat at that table to make those kind of decisions. Then we are going towards paid.
Beat the fuel increase with USAID specials. 2 kilograms of real good frozen mixed chicken portions, a giveaway at $99.99. 2 kilograms of tastic rice, just $36.99. 500 grams of Romy 37% fat spread, just $13.99. 750 grams of U brand mayonnaise, just $34.99. Mind-blowing savings up to the 19th of April 2026. Where, you ask? At USAID. I save, you save. We all save at USAID.
To make those kind of decisions. Then we are going towards paid. So we talked about being seen, we talked about being heard. Being heard builds the reputation, because at that point we have the narrative in our heads. People are saying the right things about you. People are having the right impressions about your capabilities. The story is aligning with what you want it to align with. But when the reputation compounds, that's when you get paid. Everyone here who has applied for a job knows that the amount of money that they told you they would pay you was based on how you had positioned yourself, true or false. Even when they ask you things like, how much did your former employer pay you? They know if I really want her, I can't offer her what her former employer paid her plus extra. I must make a good offer. So the person who is getting paid is the one whose reputation has compounded. The men in the room who want to take a lady out, if you look at the way she's dressed, it determines where you take her. Am I lying? Guys, am I lying? Ladies in the room, you look at the way he's dressed before you determine whether or not you respond to his message. Am I lying? So you see, the reputation is being built, whether you realize it or not. And as it compounds, That is what determines whether or not you get paid. And paid is not just in terms of money, but value exchange. So being compensated at the level that your brand commands. So if you have done the work of being seen, you've done the work of being heard, I guarantee you'll get to the point where you're being paid. And I'd like to start by saying on the chapter of being paid that underpayment is a positioning failure. If you feel underpaid, it's because you're doing something wrong with positioning. It's not because the market has failed. Because I guarantee you that there's a price that everyone is willing to pay for the positioning they see when they encounter your product or your service or your person. That rate conversion usually starts in the positioning room. When no one is looking, when you're doing the work of being seen, you're doing the work of being heard, that's where the rate is established in their heads. Not when you get to the point where you say, I will take 5,000 Namibian dollars. By that point, they already have a number in their heads based on everything they've seen you present in the category of being seen, the category of being heard, before you get to being paid. So every single time you cut your comms investment, you are quietly agreeing to pay less. And I'm talking about, again, creators, corporates, and nations. So for those of you who are here who work in the marketing department, when you go back, you can tell Tim that I said he should not cut your comms investment. He should increase it so that you can guarantee that you'll be paid more in the coming years. The value is always there. The value is always there. The value that you carry is always there. But the problem is perhaps not positioning yourself to be seen as carrying that value. So let's talk about creators. The creators in the room have a pain point that I have, well, the creators in Ghana also have. You get millions of views, raking millions of views, have numbers of followers, but most of the platforms are not monetized to pay you for the views that you get. Am I correct? And while that is frustrating, that's not the end of the story. Because you see, that is a structural problem. That is a problem that my government is also fighting because we keep tweeting at them and saying we want to get paid for tweeting, we want to get paid for all the things that we are doing. That is a structural problem that can be solved. But as a creator, you still have the opportunity to make sure that you position your brand in a way that nobody can deny you the opportunities that you need, whether it's from the corporates or from fellow creators, even from the nation. The nation should get to a point where we want someone to tell the country story authentically in a way that does not feel like it's being tampered with. Your name should pop up. And if you do the brand positioning well, it gives you speaking opportunities, it gives you training opportunities, it gives you other streams of income. You can sell products, you can sell masterclasses, you can sell events. It's no longer about just whether or not TikTok is paying. While that is a painful thing, it's not the end of the story. So you have an opportunity to still position your brand even beyond the direct money that comes to you. To get to a point where you can set the rate. You can decide who does what. You can decide who collaborates with you because of the position you've built. Then for the corporates, the pricing game is a perception game. Everybody in the room knows someone who would pay, should I say, maybe $50 for a pair of shoes. And you know someone who will pay $2,000 for a pair of shoes. Same pair of shoes. Pricing game, perception game. I need to have a perception to place that value on that product, on that service, at any point in time. And that perception you build brick by brick, day by day, through brand investment. You must think about it. What do I need to do to position myself in the minds of the people I need to see me to exchange value for it? Then we go to the nation. Investment flows to countries whose brands command confidence. What kind of countries do you think that is? Any country? Anyone in the room? Nope. Fantastic. Love it. Anyone else? Any other country that you think commands confidence? South Africa. Nigeria. Okay. Anyone else? Are you saying that because I'm on stage? But you see, at every point in time, we know the superpowers of Africa. And so when there's a conversation being had, the money goes there. The opportunity goes there. It's not just about who has the most resources. It's not about who has the most beautiful skies, which at this point I think is Namibia. But it's about the brand that commands confidence. So somewhere under your coast, off your coastline, there are barrels of oil that is waiting to be discovered. They were always there. I don't think they, like one day someone did this and then they appeared. They've been there all this while. The geology didn't change, nothing happened. The only thing that changed is that someone decided to look deliberately at the right place, at the right time, with the right tools. The same thing applies to your brand. The value is there. Whether it's your personal brand, your corporate brand, your nation's brand, whatever it is, the value is there. The question is whether or not you have built the infrastructure to bring it to the surface, to be chosen. If you remember at the beginning, we talked about being chosen, being preferred. That's where we want to get to. The building blocks of being seen, being heard, being paid, lead you to the point where you are chosen. You're chosen deliberately, strategically, on your own terms. So, given everything that I've said, I want you to be able to identify what it looks like to be chosen. So that when I leave you and I go back to Ghana and you are in the point where you are seeing your brand, you can say, okay, that's what Kenny spoke about. We're there. If you're a creator, you should get to the point where brands approach you. And they approach you, the kind of brands you want to approach you. Because we all know creators are approached by brands that they don't necessarily align with, that it pays the bills, so why not? But you get to a point where the brands I want to approach me. You get to the point where you set the rate. You get to the point where the partnerships that you align with, they reflect your positioning, not just how many people follow you, how many people would like a post, how much reach you have at any point in time. Your audience trusts your recommendations because they trust you. You get to the point where you can say, you should wear this because I wear it. You should use the skin product because I use it. And without any questions asked, they will, because you have built the building blocks of being seen, being heard, and being paid. Then when it comes to corporates, clients choose you without a price war. They don't think, okay, but these people have it 50 dollars cheaper, so I'm going to go there. But they choose you because you are the one that represents what they feel has the solution that they need at any point in time. Talent wants to work for you. They say, I want to apply to work here. When you put out an application on LinkedIn, there should be 1,000 people applying, 100 people applying within maybe 24 hours, because you've positioned your company as a place that people want to work in. Top employer. Those kind of things they don't magically appear. They come from building the blocks of being seen, being heard, and being paid. Partners seek you out. They come, let's work on this together. Let's do this together. Your brand becomes an asset that outlasts any form of campaign, any form of scandal. Because let's be honest, scandals will come. Some of them will come with notice. Some of them will come without notice. Some of them will have a bomb that explodes when you think you're almost done. But if you've built that reputation, you've built that brand, it outlasts that scandal. Nations, the world tells your story in your own words. When they talk about Namibia, whatever they say, is it something that you yourselves as Namibians are proud to associate with? Does tourism grow because people feel like, this is my place, this is a place I can connect to, this is a place I should come to, this is a place I should invest in, this is a place I should visit again and again? Or just because you've posted, visit Namibia. So once you get to the point where you realize that your brand is commanding a certain premium, then you know, yeah, it's working. You've clearly been chosen. Because I typically like to teach, I always leave people with an assignment. So this is your assignment. And I have tried to do it in such a way that you can screenshot it and do this before you leave here today. Because I imagine that over the next 3 days, everyone else is going to be telling you something, and I don't want you to forget it because it was the first one. So, wow, you're taking, I love it. You're taking screenshots. But do this, just ask yourself, the three places you are visible in currently, are those the right rooms you want to be visible in? If not, then you have a problem in terms of being seen. And that's where you start to work from. Then it comes to write your one sentence. If a stranger followed you for 6 months and they described your brand in one sentence, would it be what you want them to say? If it isn't, that's the gap you need to close. Because let's be honest, for all of us, it's a work in progress. But once you identify that gap, then you can start putting in the work to close it. The final thing for paying, name your price gap. Where do you think you're currently being priced below what your brand should command? Especially for personal brands, because most of the time you don't know what to price. No one is really giving you a rate card of what to price to speak or to do a campaign or to post one video or two. But you know where you're currently being underpaid. That's where the positioning work begins. Because like we said at the beginning, being underpaid is a positioning problem. So if there's a money gap, then there's a positioning gap somewhere. All right. This is thank you in my local language. I have enjoyed talking.
And that was one of the speakers from Ghana. I really appreciated how she spoke about branding in a way that she spoke about it, being seen, being heard, and finally being paid. Because at the end of the day, you want a brand that brings you money and not just a brand where, of course, you are being seen and you're making some sort of impact and you're growing, development is happening regarding your brand. But then at the end of the day, you want that brand to bring you some money to pay off the hard work that you've put in it. But nonetheless, let's pause right here. This, of course, is on the Reader News Analysis. We're back to get in depth about this brand and marketing in number.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa.
Phew, what a day. Finally on my way home. And hey, the taxi is empty. So much room. Oh, no. Why is this big guy getting in and sitting on top of me? No, not the Mimi with the big bag too. Now I'm squeezed.
Sometimes in life, you just get squeezed. But luckily, with Express Credit's term loans, you can get up to 32,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes.
Ah, now that's a relief.
Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Juka, okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo, otukwetira o special ange tashake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa, nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu watatu, omafelane Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter.
And now we are back. Of course, like I said, one of my colleagues was in attendance of the MTC branding in Dumber. I don't think he brought me anything. Shombe, did you bring me anything from the MTC branding in Dumber?
Yes, I brought you content. How are you?
I'm good, Shombe. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are things going?
Good, things are going well. So tell us about the MTC branding in Dumber. And this is the second time it's being hosted, right?
Is this the second? Yeah, it's the second time. I think it's a great thing. Yeah, it's a great, you cannot say convocation, but yeah. it brought a lot of experts in one house, mm-hmm. particularly from public relations, communication, and marketing. You have, the likes of Patience Chisanga. Mm. You have George Damson. You also have the beautiful lady from Ghana that you were just listening to now.
Yeah.
That is of course Ribeiro. And the content of the matter, what I got, I did not expect, because my first time attending,
yeah.
I did not expect what I got, because I was so surprised to see that marketing, branding and communication has actually a lot of departments, has a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't just need to be a good speaker.
Mm.
You also need to be a very good listener and also a writer. And you'll be able to see that when the best people have come into one room,
yeah.
you see you start to see the richness in terms of the content of PR and also communication. Just to give you context, especially if I have to give a highlight, one of the conversation or the presentation which stood out, I think you'll be able also to give it to the listeners after we have discussed. Mm-hmm. It's about national branding. Apart from having successful corporate institutions,
yeah.
there is an aspect of national branding to say, how do you brand your country?
Mm. Which the Ministry of Information Communication is responsible for.
Yeah, and also everybody, because, you know, the Minister of Information and Communication is a spokesperson of government. It's mm-hmm. a spokesperson of government.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have the Minister of International Relations and mm-hmm. Trade that also is responsible to market the country and also to bring investors. But there's a very good lesson from Rwanda. And the listener will also be able to listen, especially from Michaela, what mm-hmm. She has to say mm-hmm. with their country. And what they have done, and also maybe what we can learn from, because they did not only make their country visible,
mm-hmm.
They market and also they show it at home.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell everybody that come to Namibia, it's a very beautiful country, we have best hotels here,
mm-hmm.
but when a person come to Windhoek, there are potholes everywhere. It is not it's not really corresponding to what you have said you are. To who you are. That's why she brought up about the relationship between what you say you are and also who you are.
Yeah.
That's why Rwanda being the best tourist attraction,
mm-hmm.
regardless of them being a small country, regardless of them of being not having a lot of natural resources compared to us, but they have managed to attract bigger companies and football teams such as Barcelona. These things, you only see them people playing in Spain.
Mm.
You only see Lionel Messi.
Mm.
But they form that relationship so that not only their children will be inspired, but they have managed to build that relationship, particularly in terms of tourism attraction, economic diplomacy,
mm-hmm.
and also investment.
Yeah.
And while we are there, Juju, there is also another presentation which it's also touched not just my heart, but changed my whole thinking,
mm-hmm.
especially when a guy like George Damanson is a president of Institute of Marketing at Malawi,
mm-hmm.
and he spoke about evolving without eroding.
Okay.
And when you listen to this, Juju, you'll be able to see that there are some brands which have been in existence and they have disappeared. There are some brands that have been existent, but they have managed to test, the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you give an example of Nokia. When Nokia came, everybody have used Nokia. He gave that example. Everybody have used Nokia. Apple was not in the game. Samsung was not in the game. Mm-hmm. But what they have managed not to do is they have failed to change. They did not do anything wrong.
Mm.
There is a clip on social media when the CEO of Nokia was crying on an interview.
Yeah.
He was asked to say, what happened? What happened when you guys were overtaking? He said, no, he started crying. And it's an emotional thing to say, we did everything right. We did not do anything wrong, but I know we have lost. Because you have Samsung evolving, you have Apple with the new software.
Of course.
These guys, they failed to, they failed to evolve and to change with time. And also, give a lot of example of companies, but what also stood out is that, with the change of technology, you must also know when to speak and when not to speak.
Mm.
And also, you must know when to change and when not to change.
Mm.
That's why a lot of brand, apparently, which I think is true,
mm-hmm.
they follow trends. You don't need to be visible everywhere. You need to maintain that authenticity. And mm-hmm. and it was actually a short but good lesson.
Mm-hmm. But let me give an example of one of those big pen.
Yeah,
that one has remained consistent.
Yeah, it has been around.
Yes, and it's still. It still serves its purpose.
Mm,
it hasn't changed at all.
Indeed.
So there are certain things where you need to rebrand, and there are times where if it's working, it's functioning, then I think keep it as such.
Yeah, and it's very interesting to see various perspectives, particularly when it comes to that aspect. But Juju, do you know who impressed me?
Mm-hmm.
I realized that we still have people who can defend Namibia. There was a very great presentation by the Queen of Speech. That is Josie Ngipandwa.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she spoke about, you know, brand and crisis management.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bar was so set so high that she has to crack it. And everybody was so impressed because she gave a very good presentation.
Mm-hmm.
She gave a comparative analysis, particularly how people managed, crisis, particularly the PR. Then she was talking about Namibia. She gave examples of South African companies and also American companies. You know what came out?
What came out?
No, she gave an example of Namdia, how Namdia managed that crisis.
Yeah.
Because other companies, when they are in trouble, it's not only about a PR officer who can communicate. It's also the big guy, like the CEO, obviously the spokesperson of the company before anybody. But he said no. And he gave a very good example of how silent can also damage reputation.
Absolutely.
Because if you are silent for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
people may think otherwise.
They'll make their own conclusions assumptions.
And that narrative, you have to make sure that you go back and deal with it. And that's why she gave an indication to say, there was a statement from media to say, press conference was postponed for the second time. That is showing that your house is not in order.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but she gave a very good presentation, and she also indicated what need to be done, particularly in terms of management of brand, and also in terms of communicating to clients. And I think to me, this event is not only educative, but also eye-opening, because I think it must be extended to other events, to other platforms to say, let us not only have brand and marketing in them, but let us have economic events where we learn from the best, from the best technocrats to say, how did they do it right at their houses? Because if you bring best people on stage,
of course,
not only competing, but they tell, they are speaking about the same area, but they speak about what they are very good at, and you get 1.02. And I think the future of Namibia branding and marketing will not be the same anymore
mm-hmm.
if you have such kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I branding and marketing is one of my favorite conversations. I know mm-hmm. I recall I had one in the past. I think it was last year with a lady from Agronomic Board. Is it Agronomic? Yeah.
Mm.
Something also in that line, and also with somebody from IUM.
Mm.
So, in terms of branding, sometimes really we sit with our own stuff, our own services, and not market them out there.
Yeah.
How many companies are out there doing something really good, but nobody knows about them?
Yeah, indeed.
And the problem is that sometimes you the money that you actually have to fork out is not so much, yet it brings you even more because it brings you different, it gives you visibility, bringing you even more money.
Yeah.
So I think we also need to change the narrative or that mindset, you know, and give the people the idea that, listen, you need to market, you need to brand your service or your product.
Yeah, you need to, and there is one thing that I've also seen, like exactly what you have said, is that you need to go out there, but do not focus on the competition. That is number one, because you end up forgetting yourself.
It's true.
That is what, and it's actually a very good thing because it says, don't focus on the competition and make sure that you maintain your authenticity. You know, you have seen institutions that you can mention names, but that lose their authenticity because they are following the trend.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't be everywhere. You find institutions that want to be seen. You are at people are speaking about human rights. You are there. People are speaking about you know, climate change. You are there. People are speaking up. And what are you known for? And I also started appreciating Eagle FM when I was there, because when you speak about economic conversation, you speak about policy affairs, there must be something that you are known for.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's actually coming to the point of saying, I think maintaining strategic focus is a very important thing without doing everything just to be everywhere.
And get lost in the wind, and things get lost.
In fact, you just disappear. Because it's good to maintain, and also to say, and there was also an aspect that was stated, which I actually got very important to say. That guy, the president of Marketing Institute of Malawi, stated to say, when he started the marketing agency, he had one of the most expensive person in that area, but people still continue coming to him because why? He maintained his authenticity. Not to come just down because you want clients, but the quality of products that you are giving. And I think it was my module of marketing that was expanded, and I was very happy for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shamba, thank you so much for making time. Is it something that you left out that's very critical for the listeners?
No. Just to say, learning should not always be in class. It should be everywhere. And you can't say you know it all.
No.
That's why if there is a quality opportunity to learn, don't miss that out. And also to realize that social media can be a very good university, but can also be a very good distraction that can distract you from learning. It's just a matter of becoming picky. How good are you at picking things that are relevant? That is one thing I have learned.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Shabby.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Lipurane ngeno wapungwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwala. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kwanda doi inawa. Nune udon otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, VI.
Eagle FM. Let's
welcome back. Of course, now we're going to listen to Michaela Rungizangonga from Rwanda, former chief tourism officer.
Institutional efficiency. This directly lowers the risk for investors, because investors always ask themselves critical questions. Can I trust this market? Can I operate efficiently? Can I scale sustainably? And according to the World Bank, governance quality and predictability are among the strongest determinants for FDI, foreign direct investment. Nation branding increases your visibility and deal flow. Global capital is selective. It goes where there is trust. It goes where the market is visible, understood, and consistently positioned. And of course, a strong brand attracts not just capital, but quality capital, long-term investors, strategic partners, and institutional capital. So, when that is in place, we have the condition where investment decisions become evident and rational. I will give you the example of Rwanda, where the country strategy has led and has promoted a couple of investments. First of all, Rwanda went from a post-conflict narrative to a safe, innovative, efficient, and high-performing destination. How did it happen? Over the past 32 years, the government has put in place a series of reforms and have consistently implemented these reforms. The number one and main reform was to become a destination where doing business is easy. And so we look at the World Bank Doing Business Index and match those criteria. In a couple of years, Rwanda became number two in terms of doing business in Africa, coming after Mauritius. What is important to mention here is that some of these ranking cannot be achieved without African collaboration. For Rwanda to achieve this ranking, it's called upon experts from Mauritius, because Mauritius is the number one country when it comes to doing business in Africa. And the first chairman of the Rwanda Development Board was from Mauritius. So it's also important here to mention that we have the knowledge, we have the expertise within the continent, and it's only, we only need to go across the border and look for our brothers and sisters who can help us achieve, the objective that we have. So there was a strong political alignment, clear policy, there's a long-term vision, and there's discipline in the execution. Once that is in place, your brand credibility comes from delivery, not just from your messaging. Tourism, of course, is a sector that is directly linked to your nation brand. Why? Because it's the first touch point of perception. It is how people experience your destination. Tourism builds familiarity and trust. It drives visibility at scale. The country, Rwanda decided to be a low-volume, high-end destination. It's a sustainable destination, it's exclusive, and it's globally differentiated. We are 24,000 kilometers square, so we could not compete on volume, we had to compete on quality. This was also this also drove investment in aviation, with the national airline having direct connection to London, Paris, and Asian destination. It also entailed protecting our natural assets, which are the first product that we sell to the world when it comes to tourism, and maintain a premium high-value model over time. So it's one thing to say we're going to be a sustainable destination, we're going to be low volume. It's another challenge to maintain that over 10, 15, 20 years. Because yes, you may grow in popularity, but how do you maintain the number of visitors in your national park? How do you ensure that there's sustainability across your whole value chain? That is very key as well. And then this presentation is a great segue from the panel we had before on sports. Sports is a great unifier. Football is one of the key sports that bring people together. And Visit Rwanda has made some key investments in sports, building partnerships with Arsenal, PSG. Yes, you can clap for that. I think it's quite great. When it comes to partnership with Premier, team that are in Premier League, Bayern Munich, now in the US, LA Clippers, and so on. This was a deliberate strategy from the government to, number one, build partnership in countries where we have the most traffic. So the UK, Arsenal, France, PSG, now Spain, Atletico Madrid, I didn't mention it here, Bayern Munich in Germany, and the US with LA Clippers. In my former capacity, I was on the lead of the negotiation with Bayern Munich. Having worked and studied in Germany, it was a great privilege and a fun contract to manage to negotiate at the time. But these are not just sponsorship. They are market entry strategies into global attention. Beyond this tagline, beyond the visibility, we have key pillars. You have the tourism pillar, investment and education, talent, talent promotion. So number one, this destination brings visitors into the country. The superstars, the Messi, the Premier League superstar footballers that you see and athletes come into the country and do content. So your YouTube content, your Instagram content about Rwanda will have, you know, these sports, these athletes featured. And then in the country, we have academy, so sports academy, where young talents are trained and we build the next generation of talent. The PSG Academy of Rwanda has seen, it's the Rwanda team of the young PSG Academy, has won the World Cup of Academy twice in a row in the past few years. And I think this is a great achievement, and it demonstrates that when you invest in the youth, you see the return. Now, once your destination is known, once you have made the effort to be seen globally, you need to build the right infrastructure to attract and to receive these visitors. One of the goals of the destination was to be a MICE leader, meeting incentive conference and events. To do so, we built the Kigali Arena, the Amahoro Stadium, the Kigali Conference Center, and so on. And these investments were done to deliberately attract visitors into the country. Today, we're in 2026. 20 years ago, the country was not even in the top 20 of the MICE and conference in Africa. Today, we're in the top 2. And this is the result of a clear strategy implemented over time consistently. Events are not costs. They are attraction platform, and they increase your global visibility. They strengthen your investor confidence. And of course, they allow the hospitality and service sector to grow. One model of global investment that entered the country due to those reforms and the ease of doing business is the case of Volkswagen Group. Volkswagen is the number one car maker in the world. They decided to build an assembly plant in Rwanda in 2018. They decided to start their first mobility company, the likes of Uber or Volkswagen in Rwanda, not because of the market size, but because of the doing business index, because of the efficiency, because of the clarity, because of the positioning as a testbed for innovation, and because of the openness of the government to change policies when and where it was needed. At the time, we had discussion at the parliament level, we had discussion with the regulatory institutions, and we changed some of the regulation on tax, on investment, and so on. And that flexibility is important, that co-creation of policy is important for investors to stay for the long run. So, your nation branding becomes powerful when it converts visibility into capital. Nation branding becomes powerful when it converts visibility into capital. And the fourth point, which is a topic that, again, very dear to my heart, is our ability to move and exchange and trade across the continent. Our visa openness. Some countries in Africa are visa-free. Others are in the process of becoming visa-free. We have a continent that's cannot wait to be open and become one market. And it is important that we understand and fast-track these policies. When the African Union talk about Agenda 2063, in 2063, it's a bit late for us. We want it yesterday. We want it yesterday. We need a visa-free Africa yesterday. And I think Namibia is in good track. Ghana is in good track. Senegal is in good track. Let's open. Rwanda is visa-free for all African, all citizens of the Commonwealth, all citizens of the Francophonie, and about $50 for the rest of the world, but there's no procedure at all. It's completely open, no zero procedure at the entrance.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM.
And fast track these policies as a national efficiency. leads directly.
Quite interesting and something new to learn that Rwanda is visa-free to so many African countries, and no processes, no payments whatsoever. Isn't that something quite interesting? I mean, Africans need to move around. Most times we have family members in another African country, and there's a lot that needs to go into that discussion. But then again, also, with Namibia knowing that, we visa-free to so many nations, and we decided to rather revoke, I think revoke is the right word to say, revoke those visas because they were not reciprocating it. And I think that makes sense. But yeah, it's a discussion to really go in depth and understand which one is working best for which country. Nonetheless, let's post right here and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back with news beyond the borders of Namibia. Stay tuned.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushe ndife nawa nukumona oijamoyiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team.
Care that goes where you go. That's international travel insurance through NHP. We facilitate cover of up to 10 million Namibian dollars per member for medical emergencies abroad as part of your membership. No extra charge. To receive your policy within minutes, simply register at nhp.com.na before you travel. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Welcome back, and now let's go for news beyond the borders of Namibia. Let's start off, right, of course, in South Africa, in terms of progress report on restoration of energy security.
Today, visit Eskom. This leads our bulletin this hour. President Cyril Ramaphosa will today visit Eskom's Kusile Power Station in the Nkangala District in Mpumalanga. The president will be accompanied by Minister of Electricity, Dr. Hosiense Ramakgopa. SABC News reporter Katlego Legodi joins us live to bring us the very latest. A very good morning to you, Katlego. What is the significance of this specific visit by the president specifically today? Because when it comes to power generation, it seems we've been cruising fairly nicely of late.
A very good morning to you, Mfundo, and to our viewers at home. We're coming to you live from the Kusile power plant here in Mpumalanga's Kangala district. This is where, you're right, President Cyril Ramaphosa will be visiting this plant today, accompanied by the electricity minister, Dr. Kgosietso Ramokgopa. And the reason why they're here to assess the state of affairs in terms of this particular plant. This is one of Eskom's 15 coal-fired power plants, and you know very well that it's a very significant plant in terms of the way that it contributes to the grid. We are told that 6 units from this plant, they contribute about 4,800 of these megawatts into the grid. And we know very well that Kusile hasn't had its fair share of challenges. It was supposed to have had this 6 units operational between 2016 and 2018, but it has since moved. I think the only time that we saw them all synchronized in Fundo was in 2025. At some point, there was even a fire here where we saw officials coming through to visit this particular plant, and that was at the height of load shedding. But I'm going to step out of shot so you can see this particular plant that we're talking about here. This is a plant from Eskom as part of the generation units of Eskom, and you can see it. It's really operational from the last time that we were here. The last time that we were here, Mfundo, there was a fire that had gutted some parts of this facility. There were concerns as well around whether this facility will be able to keep up before it is decommissioned. You know very well that some of these coal-fired power stations are going to be decommissioned between 2030 and 2040. So this is one of those hubs where you see electricity being generated at mass and being really distributed in terms of Eskom's facilities. So the president will be interacting today with the staff here. We have engineers that he'll be talking to. The minister as well will be giving him an update, because you can imagine, Mfundo, we've had about 300 days without load shedding, and we're told as well by Eskom that the energy availability factor is now at over 65%. So these are good news, and this particular plant, very important if you look at the issue of energy security and what we've been going through as a nation. And we're expecting that the president, at least at around 10 o'clock, will be interacting with those that are here. At some point, he'll be taking a walkabout as well, Mfundo, so he can see this facility. But the morale is also high. Remember that Eskom has been through the trenches when you look at the past, where this particular power station is concerned. But we know very well that at this time around, in terms of the minister's visits as well, morale has picked up at Eskom's facilities. So the president will be interacting with them, but also getting a sense of the plans for the future where the decommissioning of some of these plants are concerned. It's a coal-fired power plant, and we're looking at green energy, introducing green energy in South Africa, and there are multiple factors that will really contribute to the emissions, and you know very well that coal is one of those. But we know very well that even from the Ministry of Minerals, Minister Mantashe often talks about how coal becomes very important. I'm going to also just show you the entourage. I think this is the president arriving right now. You can see the convoy of the president, the ministry, traffic control, Eskom staff as well, just coming through here. They are going to be spending the day here in Nkangala, and they'll be interacting with those that are here. But also just talking about ensuring that there is energy security going into the future, because we had the president as well declare that load shedding is a thing of the past. Mfundo.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Katlego Hodi, the Nkangala district in Mpumalanga, for us.
Welcome back. And now let's try and get hold of our Friday's lucky winner of the 500 ShopRite YouSave gift voucher. And you know, I always tell you this time around on a Friday afternoon, please be close to your phone. You just never know if you are the lucky winner. Okay, let's try them again. Meantime, let's also post right here.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. nune udo o tukwe tira o special ange tashia kengeje pa o marudi dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nukumona o ijabo ili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed.
Now, unfortunately, they seem to be not around, so we move on to the next person. But before we do that, let's get into other news still within the range of news beyond the borders of Namibia. Meanwhile, South Africans are showcasing ECE's fresh agricultural produce.
I'm pleased that emerging farmers share the floor. They want to put grain products, legumes, vegetables, fruits and processed meat products as part of the integrated effort to boost local economic development. Emerging farmers want the government to focus more on livestock and grain farming, seeing agriculture as a tool to fight poverty with. I am into farming and I'm dealing with livestock farming, including poultry, piggery, and I contribute in the fight against poverty. I am able to employ more than 14 part-time employees and they get paid daily. These workers are now able to feed their families because of these vegetable projects where we produce cabbage, broccoli, potatoes, and maize, and by that they get job opportunities. I create jobs, I contribute in the fight against crime by employing young people. I have 10 full-time employees, some are working on temporary basis. We work the land together, we produce cabbage and deliver it to the retail shops like your Boxer and Spa. So I got a tractor from SIDA to do the job. This agricultural exhibition opens opportunities for emerging farmers to grow their business and contribute to the local economic development. I sell maize because I want to grow my business and farming. I am a young businesswoman and I'm looking forward to enter the market because I want to compete with other businesses. I do a lot of things like baking. I have displayed pancakes, scones, banana loaves, and veggies.
We plant spinach, cabbage, onion. I can just say a lot of vegetables we do, and then we supply Spa, we supply Boxer. And we have like 5 people that are helping us in our project. They don't have any jobs, like they pass the matric and then they don't know really how to plant. They don't know our food can come from the soil. So I really want to help the children that they leave the school earlier and then they come and learn from our project.
The show host wants this event to create a positive economic outlook around agriculture.
The aim of this program for the municipality, it is to educate, make awareness that farming is not only for rural people or people who are unemployed, who are not educated, but it is for everyone. It has opportunities where people can grow. It is also to assist with the economic growth of the area so that people can have things to do. Also, we are here because we are showcasing products of people who have been assisted by the municipality. And the aim is that they can grow, they can get their own market so that they can sell the product they have been assisted.
The farmers also want their business to be prioritized to ensure food security for the region. I'm Kulule Kunyembe, SABC News.
Meanwhile, Sudan's economy is under pressure as global shipping and energy costs rise.
Fuel prices have jumped by nearly 30% in 1 month, pushing up transport costs and driving food prices even higher. For many Sudanese families, even basic goods are becoming harder to afford. At the same time, the country's agricultural sector, once a key buffer against food shortages, is under severe strain. Production in some regions has dropped by as much as 72%, as farmers struggle with rising input costs and limited access to fertilizers. Crops impacted include staple food like wheat, corn and millet.
Everything is very expensive now and we can't restock due to the unstable and daily changing costs. There's a 20 to 30% increase in goods and stagnation in the market. Some traders shut down their businesses. The situation is unprecedented.
As supply chains tighten and costs climb, traders say they are being forced to pass the extra cost onto customers, further squeezing household budgets. For many families, the rising cost of food is not just an inconvenience. It's a growing crisis. With incomes largely unchanged for 3 years, households are cutting back on essentials, raising concerns about worsening food insecurity.
As a breadwinner, I can't afford to buy 3 meals for my family. To cope with the skyrocketing prices, I only buy necessities in smaller quantities now, and I'm lucky to be able to afford 1 meal during this hard time. The government must find solutions.
Experts say Sudan's heavy reliance on imports leaves it particularly vulnerable to global economic shifts, with limited buffers to absorb sudden shocks.
This is a cascading crisis. Supply chain disruptions and rising energy costs are pushing prices higher, increasing the risk of hunger and economic instability. While Sudan can turn to alternative markets, higher costs will still strain supply and production. A key solution is to strengthen local production and support farmers to reduce reliance on imports and stabilize prices.
The pressure is also mounting ahead of the planting season, a critical period that could determine food availability in the months ahead. Without affordable fuel and fertilizers, farmers warn that production could fall even further.
With prices still rising and agricultural output declining, the risk is that today's economic strain could deepen into a broader food crisis affecting millions across the country in the months to come. Neba Muhiddin, CGTN, Port Sudan.
World Bank cuts Africa growth forecast and warns of rising inflation in 2026.
Now, of course, the economic fallout from Israel and the United States' war on Iran will not only raise inflation in African economies, it could also push millions of people below the poverty line. Those are some of the main conclusions of the World Bank in its latest forecast on the economic performance of African economies. The bank has cut its average growth forecast for the region by about 30 basis points instead of the average growth estimate of 4.4% for the year. It is now at 4.1%, which is the same as 2025. Higher fuel and fertilizer prices are expected to reverse gains made in lowering inflation. Now, the bank also estimates median inflation rates of nearly 5% in 2026. In 4 out of 5 African countries, debt service costs are higher than spending on education or sectors like healthcare. With currencies in 29 countries weakening against the US dollar, countries have limited fiscal room right now to respond to the worst energy crisis on record. When CGTN's Raman Young spoke with the World Bank chief economist hours ago, he started their conversation by explaining why blanket subsidies will not be an appropriate response.
As a government, you should, of course, certainly protect the most vulnerable populations who are going to come under a lot of pressure because of the elevated prices that we should anticipate because of this shock. But at the same time, be extremely careful and be prudent not to really wreck the incredible gains that these countries have made in terms of maintaining stable macroeconomic situation following the multiple shocks, most recently being the war in Ukraine. Because if you then give this blanket untargeted subsidies, they're going to get locked into this, and it's going to be very difficult for countries to unwind these subsidies. Typically, that's what happens once people get these benefits. It's going to be very difficult to take them away, and then it becomes incredibly difficult to actually repurpose those resources to investments that are incredibly, you know, badly needed in Africa, especially given the jobs challenges that they're facing, the demographic pressures that are coming, the increasing working age population, and the need for economic transformation in general in order to be able to create a situation that is more prosperous and more jobs rich.
With respect to debt, though, because at least 29 African countries have seen their currencies depreciate in the middle of this crisis. The South African rand went over 17 rand to the dollar not too long ago. It's come back into the 1630s just before we started talking. Where does this leave countries on the continent with respect to debt service?
So debt service have been skyrocketing, right? So it's doubled, actually, between 2017 and to 2025. So in 2017, a lot of these countries were spending about 9% of their, you know, revenues in debt servicing. It's now up to 18%. So a lot of these countries don't have fiscal space. One good reason, in fact, why not to spend a lot of money on subsidies. Part of the prudent macroeconomic management, part of being disciplined, is to continue to really focus on debt management, to continue to focus on domestic resource mobilization. In terms of the broader debts, you know, debt servicing issues, it's very difficult to actually. It's difficult to know at the moment whether there is a global appetite for suspending debt servicing from these countries, because there's not a whole lot of appetite at the moment for many of the creditors to actually suspend these debt servicing costs. But you can imagine a situation in which if these countries basically begin to have bilateral agreements between countries and the creditors to have bilateral agreements to restructure debt and postpone current payments given the difficulties. Those things can always happen, but I think those are going to be between the creditor and the debtor.
But given the fact, you know, I'm just going to go back to the data point that you had earlier, right? If countries have moved from spending 9% of tax revenues on average to 18% of tax revenues just on servicing debt. And I know one of the other metrics that Moody's uses is, you know, they look at interest cost as a percentage of tax revenues. And in some countries, it's as high as a third. Certainly, that's the case in Kenya. Ghana, at some point, I believe, was roughly the same. If there's this much fiscal pressure on these countries, I mean, surely there's a case here for restarting the DSSI, isn't there? The Debt Service Suspension Initiative.
The Debt Service Suspension Initiative was a special case that the big creditor countries and international financial institutions agreed upon because of a specific crisis like the pandemic. That was a unique situation. At the moment, there isn't such momentum. There are two reasons why this is the case. One is that a lot of these countries in emerging economies, including African countries, have been able to been capable and disciplined in trying to manage their debts. In any case, we see that these high levels of debt haven't actually translated into financial crisis, which is typically the next step of what this happened, with the few exceptions of countries that have defaulted. But in most cases, they have been able to actually find ways to manage their debt prudently. And so there is some confidence that, in fact, these countries have gained experience. They have now built some systems to actually manage their debt in such a way that it doesn't get out of control and become a full-blown financial crisis. The second is that there isn't at the moment, as I mentioned, there isn't at the moment a recognition that this, you know, at the moment, nobody actually knows how long this crisis is going to go and how worse it can get. And so we haven't gotten to the point where, in fact, these issues about debt suspension can be revisited.
And now let's call up our lucky winner, because the previous one didn't pick. Like I always say, if you participate, please make sure that you are around so that we can find out if you are the lucky winner. Of course, we're calling up our lucky winner for this Friday. It's 500 ShopRite USave gift voucher. Let's see how that works out. Remember to always stay close by your phone in case you are the lucky winner. Because if you don't pick up, we move on to the next person, unfortunately. And then you miss out on the 500 gift voucher. We're still waiting. Okay, we move on with our news. Still on news beyond the borders of Namibia, World Bank has cut Africa growth. Just covered this one now. The U.S. is set to maintain military assets in the Middle East until peace deal with Iran is reached.
Well, Jonathan Regev is joining us now from Tel Aviv with the very latest. Jonathan, Israel's blitz of airstrikes on Lebanon has raised questions about regional truce efforts. What is the government saying and what is its agenda going forward?
So what the government is saying is that the ceasefire agreement deals with Iran. It's regarding attacks on Iran, whether American or Israeli, but does not include Lebanon. It was said loud and clear in a statement by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu shortly after the ceasefire was announced. And if there was any doubt as to how Israel will act on the ground, then that very big strike on Lebanon came on Wednesday afternoon, the biggest strike since the war began. Lebanese authorities are speaking of some 200 people killed, thousands injured, and Israel is saying that the vast majority of those impacted are Hezbollah operatives. This was a pre-planned operation that Israel was looking for the right moment to carry out, and Wednesday turned out to be that moment. Israel says that attacks against Hezbollah will continue, and at the same time, we're already hearing of sirens sounding in various northern communities, meaning there may be a ceasefire regarding Iran, no ceasefire at all when it comes to Lebanon.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angetashia kengeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwa Tafanona, Monica, ko Eagle FM, onore tatuimwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my candidature menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in candidature.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed.
A very good afternoon to you, sir.
Yes.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Happy calling you from Eagle FM.
Eagle.
Happy calling you from Eagle FM.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling to let you know, to inform you that you are this Friday's lucky winner of the 500 ShopRite USAFE gift voucher.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious.
How do you know you are serious?
What do you know about Eagle FM?
It's a radio, one of a private radio in Namibia.
Okay, how do I tell you that I'm serious?
I know the competition for ShopRite.
Yeah.
It's always been run by Eagle FM.
Exactly. So,
yes.
I host On The Reader, Happy Juju. I host On The Reader. So, I'm now calling you and you are live on A as I'm informing you now that you are the lucky winner.
I'm very much happy. I'm so excited.
What's your name, sir?
Johannes Hausiku Mahongo.
Mr. Johannes Hausiku Mahongo. Where are you situated?
I'm Kurenkuru town.
Ooh. Let me tell you something. Mr. Johannes Hausiku Mahongo, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something interesting. I called you first. and you didn't pick. So we moved on to the next person. And unfortunately, they didn't pick. And we moved on to the next person who unfortunately did not pick. So I had to come back to you and you finally picked. So I guess this voucher is just for you today.
I'm lucky.
You're very lucky. So you should stay by your phone next time. Because when I called the first time, it was off. Anyway, my colleagues, how do you feel?
No, I'm very much excited.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm very much. I never won in my life anything, aww, but I'm very much. It's my first time.
Wow, congratulations.
Yes.
Okay, my colleagues are going to call you up and inform you how you can pick up your gift voucher.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they'll definitely call you. Congratulations, sir.
No, I'm very much happy. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to enjoy my voucher.
Yes,
tomorrow.
Please do enjoy it.
Okay.
Buy a chocolate also for being very lucky.
No, enjoy your day too.
Okay, bye. And of course, we have it. This one is a very lucky winner because all things were just working towards him. Nonetheless, let's move on to our news. Donald Trump says Iran's handling of the Strait of Hormuz is not agreement we have. Let's take a listen to that.
As peace talks between the U.S. and Iranian officials are due to begin in Pakistan this weekend, we've been hearing again from President Trump accusing Iran of doing a very poor job and not allowing oil to pass through the Strait of Hormuz. He claims it's a direct breach of the fragile ceasefire agreement brokered by the two sides. The disputed status of Lebanon, meanwhile, in the ceasefire is creating a lot of tension. There's been fresh fighting overnight between Israel and Hezbollah. We have some latest pictures for you from Beirut, where a massive cleanup and recovery effort is underway. If you look at these pictures, you can see the extent of the damage from those Israeli strikes. And it's important to note, it comes after President Trump was quoted as saying Israel would be more low-key in Lebanon. Comments widely seen as him asking Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to be more restrained. The U.S. State Department said Israel and Lebanon would hold talks in Washington next week. What we're hearing from the Lebanese Health Ministry, these figures came through yesterday. More than 300 people killed in Israeli strikes on Wednesday and over 1,000 injured. Israel saying it is targeting Hezbollah military sites, but this was densely populated areas of the Lebanese capital. Well, let's update you on the talks that are due to take place. We can take you to Carrie Davies, who joins us now from Islamabad. Carrie, do we know anything more today about what these talks will look like, what kind of shape they'll have, and who will take part?
Well, Lucy, at the moment, we've had no formal schedule announced for these talks, and we've also had no absolute certainty of when everyone will arrive. Yesterday, we'd heard from the Iranian ambassador here in Pakistan, who'd put a post on social media saying that the delegation would be arriving yesterday evening. That was then deleted within the course of an hour. And at the moment, we have had no formal recognition or formal announcement that a delegation from Iran has arrived here in Pakistan. We've had no images of arrivals on Pakistani TV. We've had no messages from government officials or government ministers welcoming any of the high-profile guests of the country. So at the moment, there's no suggestion or no confirmation that they are already here in Islamabad. As when it comes to the American delegation, we did, of course, get confirmation earlier this week from the White House that Vice President J.D. Vance would be the one leading the talks from their side, also accompanied by Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner as well. And the Iranian Deputy Foreign Minister, speaking to BBC yesterday, said that if it was J.D. Vance that was leading from the American side, then they would be putting forward their parliamentary speaker to lead the talks on the Iranian side at the moment, very much posing that as a sort of equivalent, as a tit for tat. If they provide one, we will provide at this level as well. At the moment, we have had no confirmation either that any of the senior representatives from America have arrived here yet. But we did, of course, hear from the White House saying that they thought the talks were happening on Saturday. And so the expectation is that there is still plenty of time for that delegation to arrive here in.
And of course, that now brings us to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Please do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengue program brought to you by Eloise Shimi. And of course, the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut kicks off from 16:30. David Shombe comes in at 1800 hours with a business economics segment. From Indafa, happy Juju. It is goodbye. I'll see you again tomorrow, Saturday, not this time around, but from 1900 hours to 2100 hours as I bring you an interesting conversation during the show Life Lessons. Goodbye and tune in tomorrow.